Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show that is brought to you along with Levi Solicitors. They will offer you that 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. World Cup diary for you today then, with me, Dan Moylan. Michael Normanton's here as well, as is Moscow White, Daniel Chapman. If you don't want to follow, well, you can follow the original World Cup, the FIFA version, but it's not as good as ours, is it?
Ours is more concise.
Yeah, it is.
It's digestible. You can listen to all the games in about, what, 15 minutes a day?
Yep, so we're putting out an episode that the same day as all the games in the World Cup, following exactly the same format. We've just replaced Leeds United players in for the World Cup teams, haven't we? And it's based around federation. So, for example, we put an African player in when an African team plays.
It's shambolic.
Yes, enjoyably shambolic. And we've roped in Johnny Buchan, Adam Pope and Phil Hay for the group stages. We're on to the knockout rounds nearly. They're not recorded yet. Hopefully Phil will come back.
If not, we'll be me doing his voice.
We'll be truncating it. And that is over on The Extra Ball, our members' extra podcast. Find it as part of TSB Plus, thesquareball.net/plus. Charity calendars as well. Quick plug for those. Get those before it turns 2023. You're looking for one there, Moscow?
No, I was just going to say, if you are a TSB Plus member whose pocket casts on Android has gone astray, it's them, not us. Try Podcast Addict and try Google Podcasts. And we're talking to Podcast Addict about why they've changed things.
Pocket Casts, you mean? Podcast Addict haven't changed things.
Let's do that again then.
Whoever was the bad guy.
Pocket Casts, shit. Podcast Addict, that's what I use in fairness on Android. Yeah. And I've never had any bother with it. They're a great bunch of lads.
Yeah, Pocket Casts has always been weird and it's got weirder. So if you're struggling with Pocket Casts, please try another one and we're sorry for the inconvenience.
It's a pervert's choice anyway.
Right. So shall we get straight into the World Cup chat, the hot World Cup chat? It's Monday lunchtime as we speak. We've just witnessed the 3-3
game of the tournament.
Good game, wasn't it? I mean, the thing is, I was driving here in the car, having been in Otley, got to 3-1 Serbia, and I switched it off, and I came into the office not long after. So I was listening to a podcast in the car, one of ours, obviously. Got in the office, it was 3-3.
It was good, and the second goal was delightful. It looked offside, but he wasn't, and then he got to on the keeper and did a delightful little scoop.
Excellent.
Which, you know, you don't see enough scoops.
Who was playing?
Serbia and Cameroon.
Right.
It was fun. I must admit, but it's one of those you see on paper and you think, probably going to be shit, this.
Yeah,
but no.
They often turn into the best games of the tournament, don't they?
I was thinking ahead of that game, it's got a bit boring this World Cup. I'm kind of a bit...
Well, that's what was...
Not much has happened, it feels like.
My opening question to you both was going to be, have you got some World Cup fatigue and how much of it have you actually watched?
I've kind of watched bits of most of it, but I don't know, not much has gripped me, I've got to say, flicking through games. I've generally been a bit like doing something else. Maybe it's my fault for being too easily distracted. Maybe I should have committed more to, you know, Belgium against Morocco or whatever, but it just has felt, it doesn't feel like anyone's that good. I think France and Spain are both quite good, but not enough to get me excited at this stage.
Did you not get fully drawn in by England against USA, Gareth Southgate's England, giving all the thrills that you needed?
We should talk about that as a jump off point, shouldn't we, actually? Yeah, so because that wasn't great from an English point of view. USA did well, though. I thought they were the better side in that game. But I mean, were England even trying?
Pre-tournament, we were expecting this performance against Iran, I think, weren't we? A kind of turgid, defensive sort of performance where nothing really gets going. But then we turned up and we were good. And then it was just delayed by a week. So yeah, it was shit. Just really boring.
Yeah.
It's the worst of Southgate's England.
I was going to say, we've seen the best and the worst when they were kind of let off the leash in that first game. But you almost wonder whether it's like a retractable leash like you put on the dog that whoosh, brings him right back to you. Because there was no like attacking, there was no risk taking, was there? There was no nothing. Like, you know, you think if the USA are like pegging you back in your half with this high pressing, why not try and force them up the field a little bit, but they didn't. They just tried to absorb it all, and it was not comfortable watching, was it?
Tyler Adams, that was the difference. You can't do anything with Tyler Adams on the pitch. Unless you're playing Leeds, then teams obviously scored quite a bit. But in that game...
That's not his fault, though.
That's not his fault. No, it's not.
Brentford had qualified for the World Cup. They could have been storming through the group stage.
He was brilliant, wasn't he, in that game? And he's been brilliant so far in the tournament. Is he the best midfielder in the world? Yes.
He's the best player in the world from this what I've seen at this World Cup.
Yep.
Messi and Ronaldo, I know, have got goals and what have you.
Well, I mean, but Ronaldo's just there to stat pad, isn't he? He got that penalty, so...
Dived for it.
Yeah.
Let's be clear as well. He cheated to win a penalty.
Should we stick that in front of the committee?
He did dive for it. He's been doing this his entire career. He gets in front of people, sticks a leg across, waits for them to make the slightest contact, and
is this the chuck all your medals in the bin type?
And fires himself up in the air.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, not anymore particularly, but he obviously has been an incredible player. I've never liked him, it's worth saying, because he's always been a detestable wanker for one reason or another. But now he's not even that good. And I think he's obviously struggling with it as well.
Is it a bit like sort of the Elvis comeback era sort of thing? One for the kids, etc.
Are you suggesting we'll find him dead on a toilet at some point?
Maybe. Maybe he'll go see out his career in MLS. Maybe he won't.
Unlikely.
He'll end up in Saudi Arabia probably, if no one else will pay his exorbitant wages. Because he's almost like the, not faded pop star, but pop star rock stars whose heyday was well behind them. And they are doing that tour, aren't they? Just getting the coin in, doing the stadium tour. Almost now. I wanted to say Rolling Stones, but the Rolling Stones are obviously very, very talented. That makes it sound disparaging. I don't want to compare the Rolling Stones to Ronaldo. Dig me out of this hole, Moscow. What did you make of England's performance?
You've put me in a hole. I mean, I would have had to have watched it.
Did you not watch?
It was on.
Right.
And then I sort of got the measure that it was going to be a bit dull and then just kind of didn't. It was turned the sound down red.
It was a perfect reflection of what we were saying in the run-up to the tournament about Southgate's England. How we've got a weird relationship with that team. Because they're all eminently decent humans from what you can tell. There's none of them that strike you as being massively detestable. Like when you look back on the so-called golden generation, how many of them we didn't like.
Mm.
And they never did anything. But this lot all seem fairly decent people. And yet there's something about that thing that just doesn't quite set the pulses racing. Maybe it is the style of football.
I mean, it could be. When we got to the final of the Euros, we did have a similar performance against Scotland, which did result in like massive street parties of the Scotland fans. They seemed to celebrate it like they'd won something, which they got a 0-0 against us. But it was, I suppose you could compare it to that, and we did go on to play better after that.
It's the last game that matters, isn't it? So Southgate, based on what he did in the Euros and based on what he did here, if it was his influence entirely, has an argument in terms of that point against the USA, essentially qualified England from the group. It would have to be dramatic batshit results for England not to go through now. So what's more important from the group stages is get the points, get qualified, and then worry about the rest later. But that's only the... and that's pretty much what happened in the Euros, is kind of get to the next stage. But then I think the thing with England against USA is it was, you know, hyped up as the, reasonably, quite rightly, is like a really good game that lots of people looking forward to, and failing to deliver on that part of it. It's all very well. You can say, well, Southgate got the point and England got through, but also Friday night, loads of people looking forward to seeing that game. And it's just a typical England letdown where, like 15 minutes in, if you're used to what Southgate's England can serve up, think, well, I'll turn it down. And then maybe if he's bringing Phil Foden on, I might have a look.
What bit of Jordan Henderson didn't excite you?
Well, he did bring Foden. Did he bring Grealish on at the same time?
Yeah.
And then Foden stayed sitting down. So. And immediately, as soon as Grealish was on the pitch, he was dribbling around four people, wasn't he?
It was Rashford he brought on, wasn't it?
But also Grealish. I'm not imagining that. No, I didn't watch it.
He was definitely there.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah.
It happened. Yeah. It wasn't all just a dream.
Sadly.
Yeah, but so that was like the one bit of excitement. And he thought, well, maybe, you know, there's got to be a way of being able to fit in the most like sort of thrilling footballers in the world, as well as your Jordan Hendersons and Mason Mounts and whatever else you feel like you need to get you through the night.
Mason Mount's probably the most detestable member of this England squad, actually. Not for any particular reason. I think
Is it the hair touching that you don't like?
There's the Derby stuff. There's the Chelsea aspect of him. There's the Lampard connection. I don't know.
Yeah. You're hating him by proxy almost.
If I was to pick on someone,
yeah,
needlessly in this England squad, it would be Mason Mount.
Needlessly.
Because I'm sure he's not a bad bloke, really.
And he's not done anything really to think, oh, he's worthy of his place versus Foden, has he?
No, I think that's the thing. Feels like he's blocking a better player.
Yeah,
is what I would say.
From an American point of view, huge TV audience in the States. I think, did I read that? Was it a Fox Sports tweet that was saying it was the biggest ever TV audience for a soccer match, being as it was on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving in the States. So a huge holiday, huge sporting occasion as well over that side of the pond.
What a treat they got.
And what a chat.
See how the originators of the game play it.
But it's a performance they can be proud of. And like you say, from a Leeds point of view, if you look with your Tyler Adams lens on, it was...
Oh yeah, I mean, Tyler Adams playing well is great. Brendan Aaronson got his little substitute appearance at the end, didn't he? I think. And, everyone has always said that the problem with soccer cracking the American market is boring 0-0 draws. And again, maybe it was Southgate just doesn't want the game to be successful over the pond.
Spiteful.
Yeah, he's out completely sabotaged. 20 years since MLS started. He's like, right, nope. You can...
You will find no joy.
Yeah. It'll be like when Lionel Messi goes to into Miami and Phil Neville puts him at left back or something, like as him doing
imparts his wisdom on him
up and down the left wing to try and help out defensively rather than setting him free and entertaining people. Yeah, it is that's just what it all felt like with that. It's a shame that such a big match was a bit meh.
Yeah,
I think we have been hugely ungrateful in some ways because I know we've done well in the last couple of tournaments, but thinking back to sort of 2014 when we went out with a 0-0 to Costa Rica was the only point we managed to get out of a group stage. There were 2-2-1 defeats in there. Back to 2010, I remember the 1-1 draw with the USA, which was terrible, followed up by a 0-0 against Algeria, sneaking through with a 1-0 win against Slovenia.
But, Michael, I take all those points on board, and you are correct, but I'm going to counter it by saying football, as we saw under Marcelo Bielsa, and he reminded us, it's entertainment. It's supposed to be entertainment at its core, and that wasn't very entertaining. So I think people are within their rights to say that wasn't very entertaining.
I agree.
The World Cup as a whole, I mean, you were saying before, it's not been particularly captivating. And, it's the question of shoving it in the middle of the Western football calendar and giving everybody a week to prepare. And, of course, the players are playing like dopey strangers because they've not seen each other on a training pitch until a week ago. And it's where some of Southgate's kind of attitude maybe pays off. He's like, well, let's just stick with the players who know each other, who know what they're doing, and do something simple instead of throwing in too much random entertainment. So it's kind of what you're going to get in a World Cup where everybody's worried about fatigue, they're worried about climate, they're worried about injuries, and obviously everybody's absolutely terrified of being knocked out because you can imagine, I mean, Southgate's getting criticised because England are a bit boring. He would have been absolutely dragged through the streets if England had been knocked out in the group stages. So
pragmatism is the word you're after there.
Yeah, none of it makes for any of it being any fun whatsoever. So just kind of have to factor that
endure,
in.
Endure, we have to endure.
But it's a shame for the people who maybe don't follow football as closely because they would maybe turn into, that's the thing with the World Cup, once every 4 years and you pick the big games. And if you are over in the USA and you think, oh, well, I've heard all this great stuff about the US MNT is going to be fantastic, a golden generation of exciting, youthful players. I'm going to watch this game on a holiday. And then what you get is the kind of football match that people who like know a lot about or see a lot of football, like, yeah, we're used to that.
Yeah.
You have the extra sigh, a lot of sighing from people who maybe don't know that football can be like that more often than it isn't.
There will be some people who are enjoying this World Cup, but we're old.
And no, I'm enjoying it from the sense that I know I can wake up and there'll be football somewhere in my sphere all day, pretty much until almost the kids go to bed, so you can kind of immerse yourself in it if you want to, like driving here in the car, listening to it on the radio, even though I had no particular, dog in the fight kind of
thing. Against dog in the car though.
No, I didn't have a dog in the car either, but I did go to the vets to pick up dog medication.
I know you've done that, so I had it in my head.
Dog on the brain at the minute, which is what I think Gazza sang that, didn't he?
That's the one.
Dog on the brain is all main, all main. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We had our first glimpse of Rafinha as well, didn't you? That was nice. That brought a little tear to the eye.
Fuck him. He's dead to me. Useless. No,
he's not the same guy, is he? They've broken him. He should come home. Come back to this. Come back to what you know.
When they fail to make the payments, maybe. Maybe he will.
Yeah, repossess him. And just return to the England.
They've paid for him, though, haven't they? I don't think that joke works anymore because they just paid.
All of it?
Yeah.
I thought they were installments and stuff.
Maybe the first installment, wasn't it? I don't know.
I think if he wins the World Cup or wins the Champions League, there's bonus payments. But that was part of the thing with Phillips and Rafinha is we took slightly lower fees to get all the cash.
Oh, I thought Rafinha.
And then they paid on September the 1st, yeah.
Because like 50 million is a lot of money, isn't it, in one go? I certainly wouldn't have that if they asked for that for my gas bill, which is probably approaching that, to be perfectly honest, the way things are heading. I was just going to say, returning back to England's group and Wales, obviously the reason why it's unfolded as it has, and perhaps you're right, you know, maybe Southgate thought, let's not overexert the players in this middle game. It's a three-game group, as he said in the post-match, didn't he? Maybe you just play a bit more conservatively in this second game.
And then batter Wales.
And Wales' game is coming up. Yeah, it is. It's a three-game group. And they lost to Iran, which was funny or disastrous, depending on your nationality.
It's just a shame all round, really, that Tyler Roberts wasn't fit in time.
Mm. Could have made the difference.
Could have made the difference.
On a similar tip, USA just need a striker, don't they?
Yes.
Put a striker in that side and you're more dangerous.
Yeah, and I know there's been a lot of stuff at this World Cup about the propaganda and stuff, but I felt like the Welsh pundits were doing their absolute best in that as well. Ashley Williams saying that he just caught him with that red card.
Hennessy.
When he booted a man's head off. Yes. When he's come like 30 yards out of his line to twat a man in the head.
It's one of those you've got to get that, isn't it? If you've got to kick it, otherwise you're in bother.
Yeah, and I think he thought Iran just edged it and he was a bit unlucky in that, and it was a bit like, well, I'm not quite sure what you've been watching here, but no. Yeah, Wales don't look very good, do they, anymore?
No.
I know this is setting us up for a fall with them still to play. But like Bale and Ramsey were both brilliant not so long ago. And now you look at them and you think, it's a bit like watching Ronaldo, watching Bale. You can kind of remember when he used to do dead good stuff, but now it's kind of...
The penalty was good.
Yeah.
He maybe needed somebody. I know he doesn't run around as much, and that's kind of his where it's going wrong, but somebody to, in a pressure moment, and they need a goal at the World Cup, and somebody just with the mentality to step up and smash it into the back of the net.
Tyler Roberts again, you're thinking about, aren't you?
Well, if Bale hadn't been available, I'm sure Roberts would have finished it off. But, you know, Bale isn't frightened of any of that stuff, and he's probably not frightened of any of the criticism as well. He's just sat in Madrid having people shouting at him for playing golf for 5 years, so he's kind of pretty impervious to any kind of pressure that you try to put him under. And that'll be an interesting aspect for the England-Wales game, because England just have to not lose 4-0, don't they?
Yeah.
And then they'll go through. And then Wales, essentially, nothing to lose. And I guess for players like Bale and Ramsey and maybe a few of the, well, I don't know about some of the other older players, whether they'll be as involved, but last hurrah, go for broke, let's just see what we can do and try and bloody the noses of our nearest neighbours on the world stage would be, because if you can't go, this is the kind of the thing, first World Cup since 1958, so you just make getting there, first of all, is a fantastic achievement, and then the next thing to do is like, let's see what we can tick off while we're there, because, you know, with the best will in the world, Wales are not going to win. We're not going to win the World Cup. So you just try and do, well, let's score a goal, and they've done that, and they've got a point, do that, try and get a win would be, and then if you got those three things, you go home and say like, well, that was pretty good, and then we'll try again to get to the next World Cup and do some more stuff there. And so there's a lot of kind of motivation, even though they can't go through, they can win a game at the World Cup, and that would be a fantastic achievement. And you never know, Dan James could be the one swinging across for Bale to shove Michael's words back down his throat.
Well, somewhere in between.
Heading it off, he'd have all the advantage of that thick head of hair.
I was going to say, somewhere in between that.
He'll go along with his long, he'll let loose his ponytail and start shaking it about and say, Michael, this is what no Bobby Charlton comparisons to Gareth Bale.
It's the Welsh and the Canadians have upset now.
Oh, have you upset the Canadians?
Moscow was just telling me I've upset a Canadian, Richard. Sorry,
yeah, Richard.
I think is Richard actually Canadian?
He's English, but lives in Canada.
He's lived there long enough to know that Tim Hortons is the best coffee in the world, etc.
Were you trashing, because you were saying bad things for you?
I didn't think I was trashing him.
What you should do in the finest tradition of internet opinions now is double down.
I celebrated each and every Croatia goal last night.
I mean, I did already apologise on your behalf. But if you want to throw that back in both mine and Richard's
faces.
What
was his crime exactly?
Just being mean about Canada.
I thought Canada were dead good in that first game.
You said they're not very good, are they?
I think I might have said
they were exciting, but they weren't.
I think I was saying that I didn't expect them to be competitive in that way, because judging by the players. I mean, like Junior Hoylett is a kind of a mainstay of their team, and I know he's caused us many problems in the championship, but he's not of the class of a World Cup player, I wouldn't have thought.
And yet he's at the World Cup, and where are you?
Well, I was never in contention, I don't think.
We're not.
It was sat
by your phone when they announced.
Although Canada do have that old man playing for them, don't they?
Let's do it the other way. He's at the World Cup. Where's Erling Haaland?
That's true.
See?
Shit bastard.
Mm-hmm.
He's crap too.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I was just going to say before, in between that Wales-Iran game and the England-USA game, we had the Qatar-Senegal game as well, which sent Qatar home before even the first Friday of the World Cup was out. I mean, sent them home. They were home.
They were home, yeah.
They were already home.
Back to the houses.
Yes, just had to drive from the stadium home again, which is what they probably did anyway. Maybe the team hotel. Depends, doesn't it?
It's strange that, because when they scored and you saw people celebrating the stadium, you thought, it's nice they've scored, I suppose. Yeah. But then you thought, no, bad Qatar.
There's probably a distinction to be drawn there because we're saying that, you know, it's good that Wales got to a World Cup after so long, got a goal, got a point, now can work on getting a win, all great achievements. They didn't spend $200 billion trying to do that. So I think putting Qatar's little pissy little goal into context.
You get angry Qataris coming at you now, Moscow.
Well, bring it on.
And Radrizzani, probably. Because he's a fan of them, isn't he?
Did you notice that I can't remember what the tweet was exactly, but it's now gone from his timeline. Something about, somebody had mentioned the lack of diversity within
it. Oh, it's still there.
Is it there? I'm sure I looked at his timeline.
It was a reply to someone, so.
So it wouldn't have appeared. Right, yeah, where he was sort of defending the diversity within the crowd, which, let's be honest, was a bit of a sausage fest, the one that was being pointed out.
Yeah, it was a little bit, wasn't it?
But yeah.
I noticed Pochettino as well was on, kind of saying what a great World Cup it was.
Was he shilling for him?
A little bit, yeah. He kind of did an intro in the room, got Pochettino was in the studio and he went, yes, it's been a really good World Cup, hasn't it? It's dead good here. And they were like, yep, cool.
Silence.
Probably true from Pochettino's perspective.
Yeah, true.
So you just go from corporate area to corporate area being treated exactly as you
Swilling down your Budweiser, Moscow, in your corporate areas.
Where it's allowed, yeah. And there's the FIFA-branded champagne, isn't there, that's all on there, all flowing. So there's no problems if you are rich enough to have a good time. Yeah. It's generally true of everywhere.
Because Rads has been there, you're right, you're absolutely correct.
And he's also rich enough to have a good time, so.
I'm rich enough to have a good time in Pontefract.
Yeah.
And so I do.
He's been milling about with his Qatari mates, hasn't he, basically, there in the luxury areas. Or has he been there tidying up the loose ends on the Cody Gakpo deal?
Maybe.
Tying up the loose ends as in like withdrawing the offer, yes, because it's ridiculous.
Do you not think we're going to get him now?
I mean, it seemed unlikely before.
I am asking this with tongue planted firmly in cheek, as you know.
Yeah, people say he's quite good now.
But we knew first, and that's the important bit. I liked him before he was famous.
Do we still have a go with Le Kettler?
And Bamba Dieng, we've seen him as well.
Yeah. Get them all.
I mean, Belgium are terrible, aren't they? That's the one thing I've taken from this.
Well, have you seen there's some ruffled feathers in there? Because you see that, I think it was Kevin De Bruyne did an interview with The Guardian, but it was a Man City fan who interviewed him. And he said, I will, because he doesn't do interviews quite famously, but he said, you can come and interview me at home, but you've got to interview the whole family. So it's quite nice. I read it as a piece, but in there they got chatting about Belgium and he was saying, now we're too old now to be good. Unfortunately, this side, our best chance was 2018 and not anymore. I think it's Jan Vertonghen, isn't it, who's kind of in the post-match quotes after they lost, was saying, maybe we were too old to score a goal or going forward or whatever. So you can tell there's that. What you would classically actually associate with the Dutch all falling out with one another at a World Cup.
Are you looking up Jan Vertonghen's age there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was surprised he was still playing.
Me as well.
But he's only 35, so he's not the oldest. He's
younger than you.
He's not the oldest player.
He got the call to go on the plane.
He's been horribly injured since he left Arsenal. Well, he went to Barcelona in a big move, and then his legs just immediately gave out. So that's going to be a factor. But yeah, it is a... I would probably lean... I mean, that's no defence for Jan Vertonghen, really, is it? To come out and say, yeah, Kevin De Bruyne is... Because if De Bruyne is wrong and they're not too old to win the World Cup, what's the problem?
Yeah, that's what KDB...
Because they're not won, have they?
Go back in there saying, what's the problem?
Yeah, well, he'll just say, we're too old. He's right. They look old and terrible. And so whether, if he hadn't said that, Vertonghen would have been sprinting around World Cup pitches with all the energy of a young gazelle, maybe that's the only thing. But in either case, it's hard to sort of disagree with De Bruyne's view that perhaps if Belgium could find one, a defender who is not a 35-year-old post-knee injury, Jan Vertonghen, might give them some better chances. And there's players like they've got, who's the, is it Grossman from Brighton?
Lloyd.
Yes. Is he there with them? No, it's Pascal Gross. Yeah. Is he Belgian?
No.
Where's he from?
You're thinking of, the one who looks like a crack addict. What's his name?
Trossard.
There you go.
And there's Laurens Debock. He's only 30 years
just,
old.
Just for the record, we should say very clearly he's not a crack addict.
No,
he's just got very dark eyes.
He just has a slightly haunted look about him.
Look at one. Yeah, so they could play him. He's scoring goals in the Premier League, isn't he? And they've got a everybody like maybe.
I'm still chuckling at his Lloyd Grossman thing, by the way.
If Jan Tielemans, he's a Belgian international player. He could play for them,
right?
Well, he could.
You're just shouting out random Belgians.
Well,
now.
No, he is.
Tintin.
He's good.
Tintin. He could play for him.
I think Tielemans is in the squad, isn't he? He's there.
I'd imagine so.
So, but then why is he's not playing the games? And everybody, I think he's probably like a £70 million move to scum away from suddenly being in the midfield for Belgium, isn't he? That's the thing. So,
I was going to say, prior to Belgium's defeat to Morocco, Australia beat Tunisia on Saturday, which brought its own form of entertainment. That's the stuff I think you enjoy at the World Cup, isn't it? Seeing teams like Australia who, from the other side of the world to us, we don't see much of the Aussies apart from in little fits and starts when they're playing in the Premier
League.
Since
Neighbours got cancelled.
Indeed. Well, it's getting resurrected, isn't it, by Amazon, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good news. And Rasmus played when France beat Denmark. I think Mbappe had a bit of fun with him.
What, were you looking confused, Moscow? Have you got some more Belgians to name?
Was the goal Christensen's fault that France scored?
It was a bit of a classic Leeds goal, actually. It was across the back post that he was kind of the wrong side of. There was someone coming in behind him to score.
Okay.
So I say someone, it was Mbappe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite good.
He's fairly famous.
Got me for not being able to identify any Belgian players. Like, yeah, because I didn't see that game either, but I was aware that people were saying Christensen was the fault, the problem.
Spain, Germany, it needed a Diego Llorente, Robin Koch pairing up a match up there, didn't it, to make that one more entertaining? Good game, though. Good game.
First half, I was a bit disappointed. But yeah, I don't know, it just felt a bit...
Imagine you're disappointed with everything, aren't you?
No, I thought the second half was good. And I was thrilled with Cameroon against Serbia. That was good.
Yep.
Fine. So, no, and who was the... that German fella came on I'd never heard of as well, which was fun. Who scored?
Go on. What's his name? Do some live Googling.
He plays for Werder Bremen.
He does, doesn't he?
He's quite old. He's maybe the... He should join up with Belgium if he has that as an option.
Just pop over.
It's something like Truck, isn't it?
So,
something like Truck.
So on to the games that we've podded on Monday today so we can chat.
Fulkrug.
That's like Truck, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably a translation, yeah.
Fulkrug, it's
Truck.
It's German for the shared wig.
Right. England playing Wales then on Tuesday. We've got USA versus Iran. No rivalries there then. Did I see somebody saying that, like, Iran is one of the biggest importers of the Stars and Stripes in the world, like the second biggest or something, or manufacturers of it, because they like to burn the Stars and Stripes, which is wild.
I did hear, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But
it was fun to read.
It was a fact doing the rounds.
Yeah, which obviously always goes down well in the States, I imagine. But yeah, the historical rivalry there, going back to the politics of the 70s and 80s, is it adds a little frisson of excitement to that one. And England versus Wales, history of which goes back to, what, the 1400s or something?
I mean, Weston McKennie needs to be be wary because he's done his hair in that colour, hasn't he? If there's a Steve Nicol type around, set that straight on fire.
Yeah, famously set one of his, was it Gary Ablett's wife?
Yeah.
Set her hair on fire for reasons that we still don't know about.
By the way, that nearly became one of Gary Ablett's wives. Hair on fire. I think he only had one at a time, at least.
Is Gary Ablett married to Weston McKennie now?
I don't know.
It seems unlikely, doesn't it?
But... Well, this will be the test, isn't it? Of whether Weston McKennie can come through that match unscathed. Because if we do, then if he does, it's the Gary Ablett factor. But if his head goes up like a paper lantern, then obviously it's the colour of it.
We keep being linked with
whatever attracts Steve Nicol to it.
With Weston McKennie, don't we?
Well, yeah, we were.
He's quite good.
Yeah.
I won't mind him.
Well, I watched it having been aware of the previous links and thought, yeah, let's get him. if we're going to America, just get him.
Get him. Get Pulisic too, even though he's got quite an annoying face as Pulisic.
Yeah, has Chelsea changed his face to become more annoying?
He's gone a bit, him and Mason Mount sort of.
You see, the American viewers/listeners now will be all over this because he's the golden boy.
I know he's the golden boy, but he's got a very beggy face. He's got like a constant look of being slightly aggrieved with a referee.
That's Chelsea for you.
I think, yeah, let's blame Chelsea. We'll get him to Leeds and it'll be fine.
We can heal him. We can fix him.
Yeah, we de-Chelsea'd Tony Dorigo quite well, but I think we never really cracked it with Dennis Wise.
Or Jody Morris.
Yeah. Or Ken Bates. Will we be watching Wales versus England, Moscow?
When is it?
It's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow night. Michael, will you watch?
I'll definitely be watching it.
I'll be watching it, yeah. Or will you be on the other side, Moscow, Iran against the USA?
I mean, who knows? It's anything could happen.
You got a good book on the go?
No.
What are you going to be doing instead?
I don't know. I might tell people why Pocket Cast isn't working. sort of put the TV on and then sit on the sofa with a laptop and have a look at our customer service email account. It's better than watching the World Cup at the moment.
Keeps things ticking over. The knockouts start Saturday, so we'll come back and do something before that, I imagine, as the groups start getting rounded up. Would make sense to do so, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Come back and report a more fun England game, potentially.
You think?
Give it the same rigorous analysis that we've given the group stages so far.
Well, I think it's only fair that we're doing it in this way, because let's not pretend to be knowledgeable.
No. Oh, good God, no.
It'd be insincere of us to go out and read what some other people have said and then come on and repeat it, wouldn't it?
I mean, would it? Isn't that what everyone does?
Yeah, well, it is exactly so. If you want that, go listen to it somewhere else.
I think it should be entertaining, Wales versus England, if only just because of the local rivalry and all that. You'd expect England to win, but you never know under these circumstances, do you? And do you know what? Even if England don't win,
grind out a 0-3. That's what we should do. Let Wales get really close, but then not quite.
Just to make it more interesting. It does have a bearing on the knockout phases, doesn't it? If and assuming they do get there, whatever. Other thing to wrap up from a Leeds perspective, by the way, is that the Jean-Kevin Augustin verdict has been released by CAS. Not the verdict, but the actual reasoning. I mean, the long, 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 long story short of this, and I read the whole document, which was just long and long, was that the deal that Leeds agreed with RB Leipzig used the term end of season when it came to signing him. And that was ultimately the most persuasive element for CAS, which is the Court for Arbitration for Sport, the arbitration body that's settling this. It basically said that his loan deal did expire on June the 30th. That was correct. But CAS ultimately said that didn't matter. That was a separate clause, and that Leeds would sign Jean-Kevin Augustin at the end of the season and did.
That's not strictly...
That's the potted version. I'm trying to give it in the most digestible couple of sentences.
Yeah, the crucial element is that there was also the thing that they said we would sign him on the 1st of July.
Yeah.
If Leeds had been promoted at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of a date clash there.
But they said ultimately that didn't matter. You could easily try. And the intention of the contract was that he would sign if we went up, and we did. So they had to.
Needed a bit of Doctor Who style time travel to kind of negotiate. Like, if the season hasn't ended by July the 1st, how do you sign him on July the 1st if Leeds have been promoted at the end of the season? And CAS just said, you do.
Yeah. So we owe them now 21 million euros, which is 18 million pounds, give or take, in current money, and interest payable at 5% per annum over and above that for the period in which we haven't paid the fee up to now. So it looks like all three instalments should have been payable by now, but this was initially only over the first one. The complaint relates to the missing first payment, but obviously once that's settled, then the other two are settled, aren't they? Because the case is then, settled.
That's good, isn't it? I'm glad we've signed him. It was fun for
40-odd minutes, was it?
Bit.
You got a trip to Sheffield.
It was fun until the bit where I had to watch him play and then went, oh God, what have we done?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we can discuss this at more length in future, but I guess it's...
Why would we ever discuss it at more length?
Well, not just in terms of what...
2025, I mean, is still going fucking junk every
Augusta. But when it gets finally settled, because Leeds have said they're going to look once more at their remaining routes, but there's a very, very...
Just
give it up now. It's like the VAR, isn't it? Like, just leave it. Just let it stand.
Just not answering the phone. Yeah. Or the door, I think, is the next step for not paying this.
But in essence, it just blows a hole in the idea that there's this extensive due diligence done. Because like you said, Moscow, I agree that at the time it looked like a pretty good deal for somebody who was supposedly worth twice as much. Mm. Like we said, you can understand why Leeds went for it. And at the time we said, oh, that could be good. But then for him to arrive and just be an absolute bag of shit.
Well, he wasn't an absolute bag of shit. He got a hamstring injury in his it was his first reserve match, wasn't it?
But the details of the CAS verdict is what I'm on about, in which Leeds have said, because of his performance in training and such, he can't get up to the standards required, don't come in and train. That was mentioned in the verdict. It was noted as part of the fact of the case.
Well, yeah, but that's by the point where they're trying to get out of buying him.
Yeah.
So of course they were going to tell CAS that he was training terribly. I wouldn't be surprised. He could probably sue for defamation, actually. I was perfectly fit and this is all bollocks. I didn't see him train, so I don't know if he did or didn't, but I know that Leeds were trying to get out of a loan deal for him, so that's exactly what you would say.
Anyway, FA Cup, who do you want? That's tonight, the draw.
Arsenal away.
It's for our annual tie.
It just will be, won't it? Probably.
Why don't we get somebody shit from the lower divisions at Elland Road
so and lose to them?
Sell Elland Road out and beat them.
That'd be fine.
Won't happen though, will it?
No, it'd probably be away at somewhere tricky.
Like Chelsea or...
No. I don't mean tricky in our actually good sort of way. I mean tricky in a kind of... We'll put up a decent fight and like Huddersfield away or something.
Sunderland away.
We'll go and play a reserve team and lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, based on past experience, I can't think of a single team that would possibly be in the draw who we would not find tricky. Just this is the problem. We will be drawn against a team.
Who did we lose to last year?
Canada, wasn't it?
Probably. Who can forget the great FA Cup run of...
Can't even remember now.
Of last year.
It was what we... Did we beat West Ham? Or lose to West Ham. We lost to West Ham in the cup.
Lost to West Ham, yeah.
And then beat them in the league.
Because we played them two games on the trot, didn't we, or something?
Yeah. So maybe that's it, is to see whoever we're playing in the league and just draw them.
Sonny Perkins played in that for West Ham, didn't he?
For a minute.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think it was... I mean, that's one of the reasons he left, is because, you know, while there was a lot of us, we're all complaining that Gelhart only played 20 games. I think that was his one appearance. He got a couple of Europa League sub-appearances on top, but David Moyes was just... emphatically not using the best young striker in England, so we'll have him.
Yeah, 5 seasons in a row we've gone out in the third round.
What's the point?
It's impressive, isn't it?
What is that, honestly?
It's remarkable, given we've not even had bad draws all the time. Mm.
Maybe it'll be a repeat of who had the celebrity in their team.
Crawley?
Yeah. Maybe they'll sign Matt Hancock and we'll play against
The pictures of Matt Hancock playing football were tremendous. Have you seen him?
Yeah, so he's got the experience, hasn't he? So
the ultimate insult.
He can drop into whichever team Leeds are drawn against and just to score a couple of goals against us and crack on with his slow career.
Great stuff. That wraps up the World Cup diary for today. We'll be back later in the week. Probably, Thursday we'll say something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Why not? We'll speak to you then.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.